Regardless, we're going to hold fast to Him tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be your wonderful name. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be your wonderful name, Father. Thank you, Lord.
Opportunity, oh God. Lord, we can come into your house with praise. We can come and exalt your name. We can come and worship you, dear God. Lord, we can come and just look to you, Father, the author and the finisher of our faith, knowing, dear God, it's by your grace that you called us, Lord Jesus, and you have led us down through life's journey. You have fed us, you have clothed us. Lord, you have given us shelter, oh God. You have given us health and strength. Oh God, we truly have learned to depend upon you, Lord. What can we do without you, Father? Oh, blessed be your wonderful name. All glory and honor be unto you. All praise to your matchless name tonight. Hallelujah. Blessed be your wonderful name. We thank you, Jesus. We give you praise. Amen. 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 Praise his wonderful name. We're certainly happy to be in his house tonight. And you just want to look him in prayer now. If you have a special need, I encourage you to believe as we look to the lovely one in our midst, our precious Lord Jesus, who promised with two or three is gathered together in my name. Yeah, I'm in the midst. How we even as we sang tonight, through it all the problems that we had, all the ups and downs, all the hard places we came through, realize that it was God teaching us, training us, molding us, perfecting His love, His character inside of us, that we can stand today and truly be called His children, that we can possess His very own life, His very own nature, not relying upon the fact that we go to church or something like that, but because He lives in us. Blessed be His wonderful name. And as we look to Him in prayer tonight, that we can believe that whatever we have need of tonight, He will meet it for us. He promised to do it, and we know that He's faithful to every promise. He's willing, He's able, He's ready, He stands in our midst tonight, whatever we have need of. He said, cast your cares upon me. Amen. He cared for us. He cared for each and every one of us. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just look to Him in prayer now as we have faith and believe. Knowing He said that when you stand praying, believe that you have received what you asked for. Ask the Father anything in my name. Oh, how we should view His greatness. How we should view His omnipotence. How we should view that He is our all in all, the great I am, when we approach Him to know that whatsoever we have need of, He's already made provision for it. He knows all about it. He just wants us to ask. You know, He said, we don't receive. We receive not because we ask not. We ask not because we believe not. But let us believe. Let us ask. Ask that our joys may be full, that it will just be another opportunity for Him to manifest His great love and show forth His power and His care for us. Thank you, Jesus. Father, with deepness of sincerity in our hearts and gratitude, Lord, for the goodness that You have shown unto us, and the very way that You have dealt with us, that have caused us to believe in Thee and trust in Thee. You brought us to realize is not how much we can do, but what You have already done for us. Oh, as the songwriter said, oh, it is so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word and just to rest upon His promise, just to know it's thus saith the Lord. And so we take that advice tonight and we approach Your great presence, holding forth Your word in our hearts, coming and confessing, oh God, that Thou only art the true and living God. We know of no other God. You are the only one that there is. One who has proven Himself to be a true and living God. To be all that Your word said You are. As we stand in Your presence tonight, Father, Lord, realize, oh God, that we have an opportunity to receive of what we have need of tonight. Those needs can be ministered to us. The great Holy Spirit can furnish what we have need of. Just as a father would be interested in the needs of his children, a husband, the needs of his wife. How much more You are than that, Father? That is just a shadow of a shadow of a shadow. Just a little channel whereby You give us our natural lives. We can learn to understand, be able to enter in and receive of Your great provisions. Lord, I pray that every heart tonight would look to You and believe in Your name and trust in You. Knowing, dear God, that there is no need that we have that would be beyond what You have already done for us. It'd be foolish for us to think that there could be. It would just be an expression of our own ignorance and our lack of the knowledge of how great You are and how much You love us and how much You know about us. You know just exactly where we'll be tonight and the condition that we'll be in, the state of mind, even as we stand here in Your presence. That was not known to You this afternoon. That was known to You before the foundation of the world. Oh God, just let Your great presence move in our hearts and lift us up, dear God, into the realm where we can hold fast to Your word. Hallelujah. I pray, dear God, that you minister to the needs, the hearts of your children, as you would hold those needs before you, and they would confess that you are able to do these things for us. I pray, dear God, that you would speak to our hearts tonight with your word as well. We come here to hear from you, Father. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Lord, we realize the hour that we are living in, the word of God is being fulfilled with such rapidity, as your promise is only a born-again Christian to keep up with it. How much more for those, Lord, who do not have that new birth, who might be contending for it tonight, desiring to receive it. Oh, gracious God, I pray that your great Holy Spirit would move in this service in such a way that, Lord, you would look in the hearts of your children and see where there's need for that baptism of the Holy Spirit. There's need for a quickening, oh God, and hearts and lives being brought to divine realization. These are the major things in our lives. You said, seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all other things shall be added. May we always realize, dear God, that the minor things are food and clothes and shelter, these things. Dear God, if we can receive of you, Lord, you could pour yourself into our hearts, and that would furnish and supply our every need. We'd walk through this life journey, and Lord, we'd be able to rejoice in every situation. We'd be able to recognize the tender hand of Jehovah leading us every step of the way. We'll be able to rest and have confidence, dear God. You know what tomorrow holds, and you hold tomorrow as well. And you'll be able to minister to us as we keep looking to you, Father, knowing that we are your workmanship. You're the author and you're the perfecter of our faith. Have your way in our midst tonight. And may your great presence just bathe down into our hearts and strengthen us and lift us up and illuminate our understanding. Lord, we could be in such harmony with you. We can search our hearts and search our lives and know, dear God, we have turned over every stone. We have searched every crack and crevice, every little corner of our lives, and know, dear God, there is no reservations. It's all surrendered to you. Oh God, how we desire that, Father. We know that there cannot be any total deliverance. There cannot be any complete victory without a fully surrendered life. That is the condition upon which we can enter into this great fullness, this great reality, to see these great promises that you've spoken for this day. Oh God. We surrender our hearts to you tonight. Lead us, Lord, into a greater faith than we have known. May you just bless each and every one from their greatest release. We ask it for your honor and for your glory, in the precious and wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 God, we should bless you. We'd like to invite your attention tonight to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 9. Beginning from verse 1. Hear, O Israel, thou art to pass over the Jordan this day to go in to possess nations greater and mightier than thyself, cities great and fortified up to heaven, a people great and tall, the children of the Anakim, whom thou knowest, and of whom thou hast heard see who can stand before the children of Anak. Understand therefore this day, that the Lord thy God is he who goeth over before thee as a consuming fire. He shall destroy them, and he shall bring them down before thy face. So shalt thou drive them out and destroy them quickly, as the Lord hath said unto thee. Speak not thou in thine heart, after the Lord thy God hath cast them out from before thee, saying, for my righteousness the Lord hath brought me in to possess this land. But for the wickedness of these nations, the Lord that drive them out from before thee, not for thy righteousness, nor for the uprightness of thine heart, dost thou go in to possess their land. But for the wickedness of these nations, the Lord thy God that drive them out from before thee, and that he may perform the word which the Lord thy God swore unto thy fathers Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Understand, therefore, that the Lord thy God giveth thee not this good land to possess for thy righteousness, for thou art a stiff-necked people. Remember and forget not how thou provokest the Lord thy God to wrath in the wilderness, from the day that thou didst depart out of the land of Egypt until you came into this place. You have been rebellious against the Lord. Also in Horeb, you provoked the Lord to wrath, so that the Lord was angry with you to have destroyed you. When I was gone up into the mount to receive the tables of stone, even the tables of the covenant which the Lord made with you, then I abode in the mount 40 days and 40 nights, neither did I eat bread nor drink water. And the Lord delivered unto me 2 tables of stone written with the finger of God, and on them was written according to all the words which the Lord spoke with you in the mount out of the midst of the fire in the day of the assembly. And it came to pass at the end of the 40 days and 40 nights that the Lord gave me the 2 tables of stone, even the tables of the covenant. And the Lord said unto me, arise, get thee down quickly from here, for thy people whom thou hast brought forth out of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They are quickly turned aside out of the way which I have commanded them. They have made themselves a molten image. Furthermore, the Lord spoke unto me, saying, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Let me alone, that I may destroy them, and blot out their name from under heaven, and I will make of thee a nation mightier and greater than thee. So I turned and came down from the mount, and the mount burned with fire, and the 2 tables of the covenant were in my hands. And I looked, and behold, you had sinned against the Lord your God, and you had made a molten calf. You had turned aside quickly, but out of the way which the Lord had commanded you. And I took the 2 tables and cast them out of mine hand and broke them before your eyes. And I fell down before the Lord as at the first. 40 days and 40 nights I did neither eat bread nor drink water, because all of your sins which you sinned in doing wickedly in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. For I was afraid of the anger and the hot displeasure wherewith the Lord was angry with you to destroy you, but the Lord hearkened unto me at that time also. And the Lord was very angry with Aaron to have destroyed him, and I prayed for Aaron also at the same time. And I took your sin, the calf which you had made, and burned it with fire, and stamped it, and ground it very small, even until it was as small as dust. And I cast the dust thereof into the brook that descended out of the mount. And at Tabira, and at Massa, and at Kibroth Hattaavah, you provoked the Lord to wrath. Likewise, when the Lord sent you from Kadesh Barnea, saying, go up and possess the land which I have given you, then you rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God, and you believed him not, nor hearkened unto his voice. You have been rebellious against the Lord from the day that I knew you. Thus I fell down before the Lord 40 days and 40 nights, as I fell down at the first, because the Lord had said he would destroy you. I prayed therefore unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, destroy not thy people and thine inheritance, whom thou hast redeemed through thy greatness, whom thou hast brought forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Remember thy servants Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Look not unto the stubbornness of this people, nor to their wickedness, nor to their sin. Lest the land from which thou broughtest us out say, because the Lord was not able to bring them into the land which he promised them, and because he hated them, he had brought them out to slay them in the wilderness. Yet they are thy people and thine inheritance, whom thou broughtest out of by thy mighty power and by thy outstretched arm. Let us pray once more. O gracious God, knowing that these things that were aforetime were written for examples unto us, we, Lord, might receive instruction, and the Lord, through patience and comfort, might have hope. And Lord, I pray that as we would look to you now, this little portion of scripture we have read, Lord Jesus, you would take it and you would teach us out of it. That our hearts can be established in thy truth. And we can be led by thy mighty hand and be brought into the promises that thou hast spoken for this hour. And we can understand, Lord, how we should please thee and the way that we should go. That we will not be caught up in folly, Lord, or think of more highly of ourselves than we ought to think of ourselves. Or see things the wrong way and relate to it the wrong way. But Lord, in the way that you see it, in the way that you desire for us to relate to it, that we can truly be in harmony with you and receive of that blessing and continue in that grace. Grant it, Father, we pray as we look to you now. In Jesus' precious name, we ask it. Amen. God bless you, may I receive. Well, we want to greet you tonight in the precious, lovely name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we certainly are grateful to God's grace. You know, I had to slip out and just, I would have liked to announce it Sunday, but Sunday I wasn't even sure if I was going to be here or not because it was not even confirmed. I don't know if I would have been able to go. And what happened was it was on Saturday, that was the 18th, which was last week, the end last week, Saturday. I got a call that woke me up out of my bed, and it was Brother Jared Samuel, the pastor, who's the pastor that worked in Princeton. You know that for 5 years now they moved to Toronto, and he called me and he was telling me that just about an hour prior to his calling, his nephew, which is his brother Luther, who used to be here with him as well, and some of you might know Brother Luther. His son died, you know, and he was 26 years old. The very night before, they was all together in fellowship and everything, and afterwards they found out through tests and different things, the autopsy revealed that he died from a blood clot. And it was explained that there's two kinds of this blood clot. One that is the silent type, and the other one that, you know, the symptoms that you know that the person is suffering a blood clot. And he just died, passed away in the father's arms, and they was all shattered, broken up. They didn't know what to do because it was just at a time when it seemed the boy was being so much interested in the Lord and the things of the Lord, and he had been married just recently, about 3 years married. And you know, when he called me, they just wanted me to come to be with them at that time, you know. So I was asking him, I said, well, you know, if you could get somebody else, but it seems that, you know, they felt that I was the one that wanted to be there because they didn't know anybody to be with them, to stand with them at that time. And you know, it's kind of strange, you know, you do things you get yourself in and doing sometimes, you know, because I mean, for the past couple of years since they have been up there and trying to get established, they've been asking me back and forth to come and preach, and you know, I try to tell them, I say, well, you know, a man must have certain convictions and certain principles, and I don't believe I could come and preach for them because of the way that he left and, you know, the things that took place in their leaving. And, you know, we never discussed this in the church here before, so this is going to be kind of strange to some of you all. And I'm not really here to go into details as to all those things, but just by way of a little testimony and an exhortation tonight, so just relax, because I'm already want to testify to you some of the things that took place and why I had to go and, you know, what happened and so on. You know, when we were leaving to go on the trip in Europe in July, we stopped there because we had an 8-hour layover, and Brother Steve and myself, you know, we decided we were going to go out to the airport, and instead of sitting on the airport for 8 hours, and we're going to spend time with them. So they came and they met us, and we went to the home and we sat and talked a little bit, and they were trying to arrange meetings, you know, for me to come up and preach and get the churches up there together and so on. Right there, I told him, he and the person who's supposed to be like his associate pastor, I told him, I said, you know, I cannot do that because I have my conviction that I cannot come here and preach. I said, you know, you need to write a letter and send it back here to the people in Trinidad and to the ministers especially too, and let them know why what you have done was wrong, you know. And he was acknowledging, confessing that he was wrong, and you know, he was sorry what he did and different thing. And then, you know, further problems have developed since then as well. And then just when he was calling me, all these problems was taking place over here as well. So I told him, I says, man, look what is happening. You know, it's just chaos all around, you know, and to do something like that. And but it's strange, you know, I stood there and I was wondering, I said, Lord, you know, should I just turn away from this thing? Or, but it's difficult when somebody, you know, is looking to you to help them, and is a debt that took place, and the boy that is there, you know, big, strong, healthy boy serving God with his young wife and everything like that just passed away, and then they don't have nobody to turn to. And I told him, I said, well, look, I said, I don't know how to even leave here, because, you know, we tried to get things established this Sunday with the Sunday school, and then apart from that, I was experiencing some problems back home with the rain getting to my office and getting the office water soaked, and I was doing a little trying a renovation there to get that sort out. And then the brothers had to break a wall, and it means to say that I don't want them to touch nothing in my office, because if anything get misplaced, in the sense of if I'm away, I'm not there to know where is what. When you start to study, you cannot find a thing. So I told, I was in a situation, and the very same day, David, my boy, took him this rheumatic fever. And man, I had so much good reasons why I could have stayed and just tell him, look, forget it, you know, that is your business, see about it yourself. And I stood there and I didn't know what to do. I said, well, look, I can't leave here, you know, try and see, you know, today's Saturday, the travel agency is closed, and then tomorrow will be Sunday. So he said, no, we have a travel agent friend, I'm going to try to see if I get a ticket sorted out and everything. He used to call back, he didn't call back Saturday, then he called back Sunday evening. By the time he called back Sunday evening, I was still up here seeing people after the service, and he had called home, he couldn't get me, called Brother Francis and tried to get him to call me. By the time I got home, he called me back again, and when he called me back home, he says, boy, we cannot do anything to get you up and be in a situation now, because the earliest we get up is Thursday, everything must be done by Wednesday, and the funeral. He said, can't you try from that side? He said, no, I know I was going to have to face the expenses myself. On top of it, my office in this situation, my boy going to be hospitalized, you know, then with the church here, what I tried to get started. And so then, you know, I mean, the amount of things sort of come up in your mind right there, like, what am I going to get myself involved in this for? I mean, it's not my business. I just make it cross the road and keep going my way, you know. People get themselves into problems, they look for the situations, they need to face what they get themselves in. They're big enough and they're old enough to bear their own responsibilities. And so I was in that situation, I recall about a Gerald Torn, and then, you know, he in the airport there was able to work something out Monday morning, call back, he said, you have to leave 1 o'clock. So the time I get up was just like throwing things in a suitcase now and trying to pick up a Bible and 1 or 2 books and just try to rush out there. I didn't even have the ticket in my hand. I had to buy it in the airport. And by the time we got in there, the man told me, he said, man, you're cutting this thing real close. Because everything was just trying to get in. There was already getting ready to board the flight and everything else. So in going up there, you know, you're going up with these convictions in your heart and like, what is happening? I mean, how are you going to go and try to be nice, and how are you going to go and then yet be truthful, and then how are you going to go and the situation that exists there, and you know. And then I didn't even know at the time, you know, years ago, Toronto has always just been a connecting point for me wherever I go. I don't stop in Toronto. I stopped in Toronto twice, 2 years, that back in 1980 and 1981. And there had a little church down the basement, Brother Clyde Luke and Brother Nelson. Some of you know Brother Louis Nelson, he's the carry on the work. Then you know his situation, what it was in those days. His wife was separated and he had problems, domestic problems, and you know, he was very unfit to pastor the work, and there were maybe 6-7 people, and the people was grumbling, and they had a lot of confusion. And then Brother Luke came in, he became the pastor of the church through my influence and talking to him and so on. And then by 1982, both of us like went different directions because of they started to look to a certain man and a certain city and a certain movement as the absolute and the message and these things. And you know, I just had to make my stand with that, and then they misunderstood and get very bitter, and they felt were like, you know, who I thought I was, and you know, it come like you've been rebellious and you think you're in something, and you know. And then on the other hand, now when I went back there 1981, then there are problems again, and so I never had nothing to do with going to Toronto. And then when these things went up, you know, then they had their problems as well. They had multitudes of problems when they went up there too, because the status, many people went up under there through this refugee status and different things, and you know what happened. So in going there now, you know, it was like, Lord, you know, here you're like a hair in the biscuit. You know, it's like you're up there, you're going to give help and support to a situation, and you're going to get involved in this, and you know, you have so many different things in your mind going through like that. So I got in there the night, and it seems like, you know, the Lord had already been there, help comfort them, because I got in there maybe about 11 o'clock, and you know, we went to the home where the boy father lived, where Brother Luther lives, and you know, a few of the saints was there, gathered there, singing, worshiping the Lord and so on. And then the next day they were going to have like a memorial service, and I didn't even realize it was a memorial service, you know, as afterwards I realized that was supposed to have been a memorial service. And then we went there and we had service that night, and you know, they had family flying in from New York and different places, and people coming from all over the United States and coming up to the funeral. And much of the unbelieving friend, because Brother Luther is an accountant up there, and you know, he has his own business and everything, so a lot of his clients and the people who knew that his son had passed away mysteriously like that, and then you know, people who was kind of connected with the family, and then the girl's father, the boy who passed away, Stephen is his name, and his wife June, she used to be in one of these churches, and all she ever heard about me was negative. And you know, even when they told her, it's I who they asked to come for the funeral, then she was even going through some heavy tensions as well, because it's like, we're only sure, you know, what are they doing? Because, you know, this brother, you all inviting to come up here, and, you know, I don't know him. And then all the things I hear over the years about his fellowship is negative. And You know, because right now up there, you know, they have about three churches, and is three English-speaking churches, and then they have a few Spanish-speaking churches. And the thing is, I know some of the brothers in the Spanish-speaking churches, because brothers who came out of El Salvador and Honduras, where we used to go as well. And they have had the share problems, because some of them apparently went up under the same kind of situation. And then when they went up, their churches split in and split from the split. And so you have a lot of little small churches, and everybody doing their own thing, and everybody, you know, a lot of mudslinging and a lot of different things like that is happening. So it was really a situation, you know, to get into up there. And well, nevertheless, they Tuesday night, you know, well, Tuesday in the day, I begin to get a little more understanding as to what was happening. But, you know, God is good, and God has a way He does things, because I didn't even think that Saturday when we, I mean Sunday morning when we had the service here, the 19th, just Sister Monica's birthday, I didn't even realize that all these things, you know, God being bring it to remembrance afterwards, because, you know, that is the weekend when we have the meetings and on the wings of a snow white dove, and you all in the church here know over the years the things that God have shown and proven with those things, even down to the literal snow white dove we saw down in Argentina and all these things coming down there, and even the meetings in Tobago during that time and all those things. And it's when I was getting ready to leave, these things began to come to me. And way back in 1976, when we started the church, September the 19th, the first time I went out and preached anywhere, it was in Culver Street, Woodbrook, and it was that same day, September the 19th, with Sister Monica. And, you know, all these things had to come back to me, and I realized, you know, like, you know, it was a time, a very historic time for us. And so when I went up there, I was testifying to them a little bit that, you know, this was the time when the prophet had those experiences up in Sabino Canyon. And then during the daytime, you know, trying to find out more about the situation that exists with the churches, because all the churches was going to be there. And, you know, I guess I started to understand their situation, because in the midst of something like that, with the other churches involved and a death take place, you know, people could see a million and one things. And and all these brothers were going to be there as well. And then I coming into the city and, you know, being among these different ministers who I knew in the past and had acquaintances with, knowing their stand and the way they took in the message, and they all were going to be there around, you know. And then all these unbelievers, I mean, had about 90% unbelievers and, you know, visitors there. And that first night when we had the memorial service, you know, all the people that day, they had a viewing of the body, and then they had a service the night. So the people that went down to the funeral home to view the body, and then they came up the night to the service. So we're going to have service the Tuesday night, then we're going to have service the Wednesday, the funeral, and we're going to have service the Thursday night there. And you know, in preaching there the first night, I went in there, and, you know, just looking at the people, and I knew some of them back from Trinidad here, from different churches and so on, you know. And it's kind of sensitive, because you get in there among people, and, you know, right away what happens is that they I guess, you know, have had to, whether wrong or right, or that is their business, they've had to face a lot of things up there. So they get sensitive, maybe when somebody from back home, I guess, would come and sometimes see them in certain conditions or certain situations existing, it could be a little uncomfortable, because already so much have been said of what have taken place in the past, you know, and it's a very sensitive situation. Well, nevertheless, that first night, you know, the Holy Spirit really, you know, begin to move there in the meeting and really speak to the hearts of some of the people, because I was preaching into the very channel that I was preaching in here, and I had kind of talked to them a little bit earlier in the day that, you know, what I'm preaching back home, because I didn't want it to feel like it is offensive, or I coming up there and pick on somebody or trying to type out the situation. And I just wanted to preach where I was at, so when I come back home, my mind will not have to try to be unwound from what I am in dear to come back here. So after the service the next day, well, the funeral service was about 2 PM, and we went out there to the funeral service. And you know, I got there the morning, and we got up the morning and trying to just try to find the man of the Lord to what to speak and in the funeral service itself, and watch how things is happening from the night before. And you know, it was a real blessing to them for me to come, I guess, because it's what they desired, and especially the family, Brother Gerald, Brother Luther, and them, because knowing they had nobody to really stand with them, and then they wanted me to come, and then to see that the circumstances, I had to leave to come. And then, you know, they realized then that, you know, it was just for them, and it was just out of the grace that God let me have, you know, before Him, to be able to make the sacrifice at that time to go. And I guess they appreciated that. So they were very much encouraged, because, you know, some of the in-laws there, especially like Brother Luther's wife and his wife's sister, and some of them who know me, you know, they have a great respect for me, because under the basis that they know me has not been the past or anything. They just know me from meeting me, talking with me, and then hearing me preach in Canada, in Vancouver, where they were there for meetings one time when they had the anniversary services. So, you know, we have that kind of relationship. So they knowing that I had come for that, they were very encouraged. And that day in the funeral service, I tell you, you know, funerals over there is different. They was kind of telling me the same, funerals over here is very different, and you know, the way it's done, and they were just kind of hoping that the Lord would really do something. And that day in the funeral service, I tell you, you know, it was just the sovereign grace of God. I mean, the place was so packed with people and all kind of believers and everything else, and you know, a lot of his business friends and business associates, and then there was there a lot of the unbelieving family. And you know, I remember the night before the memorial service, one of his sisters from New York came in, and Angela, and she had jewelry like this from here and here up to the feet like that, and boy, the dress and everything. She walked in there the night, and then they hear Coleman, you know, and she walked into the night, you know, it's strange. And then they had the other brother called Arnold, you know Arnold too, right? Arnold. And Arnold heard me preach and print the song once. And when I came, you know, they realized, like, came for just for the funeral. And they were very much appreciative and respectful for that, to see that I would come to stand with them at that time. And in there, in the service, the Holy Spirit just come down to the Saturday night. And while I was preaching, I was looking, you know, I was turning like this, and I'd be looking straight at Angela. We had met her in the lobby before, and boy, I mean, she, if you double cosmos, I mean, it's total cosmos. And, you know, I'm looking at preaching there, but she is so with rapt attention. And I'd be preaching, but every time I turn, you know, when you're preaching, you experience things with people, especially if the spirit is zeroed to particular people in the audience. Just like how the prophet would say, I feel a pull of faith, you know, it's a connection with people. And I would notice that, but then my mind was saying, I wonder if she's going through something. You know, and I'd be preaching like that and thinking that in my mind, preaching. Well, the next day in the funeral service, I happened to notice it again, and here she was again, right there beside, and preaching the funeral service. And God, you know, I mean, from the first word, just walking into the pulpit, just the Holy Spirit swept into that place and so electrified that place that after the service, I tell you, the first night, I mean, it was just unbelievers mostly. They was just coming everywhere, and they were so moved by the word. And then the next day in the funeral service, well, everybody was asking, you know, where your church is, thinking I'm from up there. And, you know, like, maybe just it's one of the local ministers or something. And we went out from there to the cemetery, and people was coming, you know, shaking my hand, you know, telling me, saying the service there, you know, this is what this city needs this, you know. And, you know, woman, it had some woman there that said, you know, God, I only wish my husband was here, I only wish this one was here, and, you know, we have to come back to service. And so all that time we were going through different ceremonies and so on, and they went and we buried, had the burial down at the cemetery. And then normally the normal thing is over there, then everybody get back to the home, the funeral, where the family lives. So we went back there, and then the house was packed and everybody just start coming back in. Well, you know, while just sitting down there relaxing, all everybody was so appreciative of this service, and people were saying, well, they never saw a service like that before in Canada, and it's so different. You know, they never went to that kind of funeral service, and it wasn't a funeral service, and nobody could cry. And, you know, everybody came expecting, you know, some long, drawn-out thing like they're accustomed having over there, which is the formalities and different things, and saying all about the person and all what they do and different things like that. And it seemed like God just so lifted the people that even the brothers, I mean, who was negative, then the girl who... They were trying to tell us, say, all right, they say, I know, we know what you're here, we know what you're here. You just wait until you go to the service. You're going to see for yourself, and you're going to find out if all what you hear about this brother over the years is true or false. You're going to find out for yourself. You just go in the service and sit and listen. And after God moved like that there in the meeting, it didn't finish. I mean, the people, we sat there in the house, and people was coming in, and, you know, I don't know, they're finding me. Whereas, you know, the end, they would come, and that tree went about 50-something years each, and they were supposed to be, like, close to Brother Luther. They know him, some kind of Pentecostal people. You know, people that just get moved with the Holy Spirit, I guess. These women come, one come and she kneeled down. And, you know, the other sister came, and the other one, about three of them out in the late 50s, three elderly women. But you could see they're like die-hard Pentecostals, you know. And she said, oh God, just touch me, just touch me, just touch me. You know, and so they were holding on to me and they were kind of talking to me. They said, God, you know, we have to have more of this in this city. This is what we need up here. And, you know, they were just kind of talking like that. And, you know, different people was coming. So, you know me, I was so embarrassed. I used to decide there and just try to change the talk, and we got feeling a little funny, you know, because, you know, in the midst of this, because, I mean, up there, I'm like a stranger, really. And so after that now, then I get to talk, try to engage myself in conversation at the side. And I started to talk to Angela. And I said, you know something? I said, last night when I was preaching the service, every time I preached like a turn at the side, like there was something with you going on. She said, I felt it. She said, good. And she said, like, explain what she was going through. So then right there, I just, you know, started to talk to her. And, like, the Holy Spirit just struck her. She broke up and she started to cry and started to repent. The other brother, Arnold, and anybody who had known Arnold before was a orangutan. And he was there, like, but, like, apparently, like, recently he's been kind of getting religiously inclined. So he came up there and he was, you know, talking about Gerald and them, and then they had this other sister, the biggest one, called Stephanie, who is supposed to marry to a white fellow, he's an Irish Catholic, and both of them are staunch Catholics. And they were there, you know, a couple of nights before, you know, they'd come in this kind of reserve, and because when they give you the history about them, you know, I mean, she's at the top of the social ladder, and she is the finest of things, and, you know, very reserved, and, well, she comes around, and they in their little church thing, you know, but they don't meddle with them because they are in the established Roman Catholic Church and, you know, the upper class and this type of thing. Well, the other one, I mean, the extreme, the other one is Brooklyn down to earth Saturday night, West Indian party, Blocko, and then Arnold, he is... like a club man, you know, this type of thing. So all of them there, you know, the spirits are moved. Then Hillary,
Hillary is there. And George is telling me, George, he said, I see Hillary bury his mother and bury his father and shed a tear. He said, he don't cry, so. And Hillary was broken up and began to weep and call for prayer. Inside, when the spirit dropped in their house, just talking to her, I was just talking to Angela, and people started come around. And people started come around, and they get in there in their house, and I'm there, you know, kind of talking to her about the Lord and different things in the stand and that kind of thing. And I guess the sovereign grace of God just dropped down the home. Well, everybody had come so anointed there from the meeting, you know, they just couldn't get over it. They never been in a funeral service like that. And then coming back in the house here, and it's not like the spirit just continued to work like that. And it's all strange to me because I'm saying, what is happening here? But one thing I was watching close, it was only like unbelievers and people who didn't know the message. And in the midst of all these Pentecostal people, all these business people, all the family in them, and it was strange to them how all these people, they want to know when the service, and then had the girl father, the boy who died, his wife, her father, they have some Guyanese background. So their father used to be in the message years ago, used to be a preacher, went back out the message and continued the denomination, had some different problems and so on, and went on his own, remarried and everything else. And they were there for the funeral as well. And when the father and his wife came, and they were so moved at the service that they began to talk to me. And then when they came back in the home, he started to say they want to start a comeback service. So I mean, here is one service, two services, the night where many of the people wasn't there who was actually in the funeral service, and then after the funeral service, and the amount of people they had wanted to come to service. And right there in the house, when the Holy Spirit just fell in the place, and let me tell you, people who was in the kitchen, who was outside, it turned into a meeting. And people was on their knees praying, crying out, everything in the kitchen stuff. And a lot of these Pentecostal women there was starting to ask for prayer. And, you know, they want prayer for this. And who was thinking of their child? And they had some people, and one particular one who was supposed to be a woman preacher, Pentecostal woman preacher. Just the Saturday before, Brother Gerald was saying that, you know, he wasn't going to be preaching that Sunday service. So they were talking. And he was kind of telling her, well, he's not preaching tomorrow because he's not feeling too well. And she thought that it meant that he needed somebody to preach. So she said, well I'm here, I'm available. I have no engagement tomorrow. I can preach for you tomorrow, you know. And but Luther was saying, she, okay, when she come in that home, everybody would have to come in subjection because you can't get a word in. Well, that night, boy, they saw her stand up there and begin to ask for prayer, begin to ask for prayer for her son. She had to come out to service the next night. And these people who look at them and what they believe were like, they have nothing. You know, they say, you know, you need to come to our church and maybe we can get Dr. So-and-so to come and help you. And, you know, where your pastor kind of went to school, where did he get his learning and his certificate, where did he graduate from, you know. So it seemed like they had nothing. And then coming to the funeral and the experience, and then coming to home there, when the Holy Spirit started to move, Arnold broke down, he started to cry. The one who, the Irishman, the white man who was so reserved, this Catholic, he and the sister, well, he started to tell Brother Gerald, he says, he said, the best thing, he said, John, the best thing you ever did in your life is inviting this man up here. And the sister now, she wanted to start to come out of service. She was asking for prayer. And I was amazed at what was happening. This, I'm talking about what happened just spontaneous in the house like that. Just talking to this sister from what had happened the night before. But Aurora's sister was right there. When she came here, she could testify. And it was all happening in their house. It was just, you know, these people just moving. And, you know, they stayed there worshiping God until, you know, long after. And it was so strange that they could not finish express their gratitude to what they saw God did. And the type of people, the amount of people, and then some of the people who they tried to speak to present the message, was able to get exposed. And to see how God had done there with those people, and, you know, they were just taking addresses of people and everything else who was interested in coming back to service. And in the end, you know, they really was expressing the gratitude. And I told him, I says, as I told him before in the past, I says, look, you want me to come and preach here, but I can't come and preach here for you, you know, until certain things is not done right. And, you know, you need to write a letter. So if you can't come write a letter, I mean, I say God's servant is God's servant anyway. God can carry you anywhere you want, but the way you live was wrong, and the way things was done was wrong, and many people have been destroyed, and many people have ended up disillusioned, and many circumstances have developed because of how things were done. And so in the end, you know, he told me, he says, really and truly, that, you know, he knew that it was the grace of God coming there to them, and he is going to write the ministers and told them and tell them, you know, about all that took place and so on. Because to me personally, you know, he did confess, and, you know, he was really repentant of how things were and everything else. So I don't know what God can do for them, but they have the potential there to really do something. Because you see, all the years in that city, you have a city with a few million people like that, big city, and it's such a situation where people just going from place to place, confused, don't know what to do, from church to church, is more church confusion and all kind of different things. And, you know, to see what they saw over those few days. And, you know, God has really been gracious and done a wonderful thing. And Sunday, you know, while I was in my brother Brown recently, I had met a brother from Toronto, Ontario, about 100 miles from Toronto. And he happened to be there in the meeting when I preached for brother Brown just last month. And he was so moved when he heard the word there, he wanted me to come up. So I decided I was going to call him while I was there. So that is where I went Sunday. I went there and preached for them as well. And again, God did such a wonderful thing. And out of that, his brother, you know, happened to be up there at the same time, who's also passed in the message. And, you know, I preached the very message I preached here last week. And God again did such a wonderful thing there. And, you know, it's amazing that sometimes, like I was telling him, I says, you know, you arrange meetings and you get people together and everything, and look how God, you know, just take this boy, spontaneously brought people flying from different places to be there, who if they had planned a meeting and invited these people would have never come. You see? Because they're not really even interested. And when his sister was leaving, every bit of jewelry is off. The very night, the same brother Arnold with the earrings there, he said, I'm going to start from now, and he took it off. And let me tell you, I'm not talking about no little emotional something. Them people, what happened there was like in Happy Wright House. It's just the suffering grace of God dropped down there. People was everywhere crying, you know, you're praying, asking for prayer, spontaneous like that. Just right there out of the effects of going there. And you know, in the end, when I look at it, it says, you know, I guess, you know, God saw that, and, you know, because it had so much of reasons why I could have stayed here. And then it was not the place I wanted to go or would have liked to go or even wanted to, at a time like this, having to sacrifice, pay my own passage, everything, to go up there, to be there to stand with them in the funeral service. And then having the convictions that I have, and trying to avoid being committed to even speak to them there. And then all I could say is, well, I remember in the Bible, one of them servants of God had a ministry even to the exiles. You know, so I said, you know, it's strange that God for a few days would just drop in like that and show a manifestation like that. And all the 5 years there to see the Spirit move like that right there spontaneously, and the people that, you know, God touched and the realm and the cross section from where they touched them with, and the way it was done right in the very home before everybody like that. And to see the kind of people who came, you know, just maybe to pay the respects in the funeral service and was on the knees on the floor in the end in a home repenting. See, the sister came up there with all this thing going back home to fix up her life and everything. The sister and the brother calling for water baptism and everything else. You know, in the end, it was such a tremendous thing that God did. So God be praised. And, you know, it's just amazing. Sometimes, you know, you look and you see what happens in simplicity, and you wonder why, and you look at the sovereignty of God, how things happen. And you know, after I preached this Sunday morning, because when I was going to preach Sunday morning, I didn't want to, I was going to have to travel about 2 to 3 hours to get up to this other place to preach by this other brother. And I was going up by this brother by myself. He was going to drive down and pick me up. Well, they didn't want to let go of me after, because what happened is that they said, no, we closed down service and the whole church is going up with you. And so they closed down the service to go up, and it even happened that they was kind of running late behind, so we had to kind of move up in front. And what happened, most of them didn't even get in until maybe the last 40, 45 minutes in the service, because they couldn't find a way, not having gone there before, and a little mixed up with the directions. But, you know, it just shows that God really was doing something, and they just wanted to receive as much of it as they could. And, you know, it's really wonderful and really nice, you know, it blesses your heart when you see God doing something for people that is in need. If anybody need, you know, like we were saying the other day, Moses said, he said, man, these are rebellious people, a stiff-necked people from the day I knew you were rebellious and stiff-necked. And when God says, is God plenteous in mercy, slow to anger, and these things, Moses said, well, Lord, if there's any people going to need a God who's plenteous in mercy, is a rebellious people. That you could he could rejoice to see what God would do and the end cause hearts. And I was thinking in the Bible, Jehoshaphat, you know, how he had misled his people. But then when that prophet walked out the woods that day and said, you love what God hates and speak to him. And when God spared his life in the battle, he went and led his people back to God. And you know, you desire in your heart that to see that God would do something that people who err and who get detoured can be won back to the Lord and find grace and find favor. And to see that, you know, in this late hour, that people can know that if you stay with the Word, God will stay with you. And, you know, especially like you're going, in the end, they just to add this scene, the sister, the young sister whose husband had died. Well, after the couple services, she saw for herself. So, I mean, it was a whole brand new person. You know, she came and she began to speak to me and express her appreciation. And then her mother and this uncle had driven from New York to come and visit her to try to encourage her. And she's a young girl, not having any children, married. And then, you know, we didn't know at the time the uncle was a Jehovah's Witness. You know, he came with his big cocky self, and you know how some people are, and they kind of just have all the answers and able to give all the advice and everything else. And so next day, I guess they wanted to meet the girl alone. So when we went out somewhere, we came back and we was hearing that she walked out on them because they try to tell her, You know, what kind of thing is you looking to see your husband again, reunite with him, and that like a false hope? You know, do you have a witness? They ain't believe in that kind of. They believe the breath of life is the wind we breathe, that the soul. So they were trying to like, girl, man, pick up your life and try to move on and make something out of yourself instead of, you know, this type of thing. And she just walked out on them because it kind of like she realized, man, what God have done for me, you all from the takeaway. You coming here without anything, trying to play, you know, something, and I mean, you're so deceiving. And they could not finish express the gratitude for what they saw God did and what they were able to experience and what it meant to them, you know, at a time like this when they needed somebody to stand with them. So God is gracious and mindful, and I just trust that from there on that they can, you know, pick up the pieces and move on in faith and really become lined up with the Word, because, you know, the opportunity is there for him. You know, you see the prophet get in the platform and the Holy Spirit come down, somebody comes to you, they say, lady, you will never ever be that close to God in all your life. That pillar of fire that God created the heaven and the earth is not 2 feet from where you are standing. And he would tell her, he says, lady, your name is so-and-so. Lady, you're sick with so-and-so. I'm seeing this, it happened to you. But that cannot heal her. That could only show her Jesus Christ was present. That could only help build her faith. Because remember, healing was paid for on the cross. And that is what she had to accept, what took place back there. That discernment never healed not one person. But that confirms to us the end time sign. That confirms to us the junction we are at and what is fixing to happen. That confirms to us that God has kept his promise in these last days and that he is present. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And many people coming through that will walk away and still not be healed. If they can't catch it, if they can't relate to it right. And so, it don't stop God from doing it. It don't stop God from pouring himself. It don't stop God from bringing himself within view. But Abraham says, one person touched him with faith and was healed. Another slapped him and no virtue left him. He said, it depends on your attitude when you're touching him. It depends on your attitude when you are touching him. And that is why, you know, to touch him, to relate to this word, right, to draw from it, to be able to recognize God present, to recognize that angel when he would come down there in suffering grace and trouble the water, that who wanted to go into that water with faith, believing that was God's presence, could have received something. And so it is that if we can recognize what God is doing, making himself available, making his word known, and you know, just to see, it's happening so fast. You get with people, and the Holy Spirit take this word and just open like that and just drop it right there before them and to see what could happen right there so quickly. It's not you have to come and pray and struggle. That is not it. This is not that age, you know. After the God has taken the book, opened the seals, it has come down and delivered back to you. You don't have to struggle no more to get nothing, you know. It is you waking up to recognize it is here and you can have it. And you can live by what is made available. The reason it was opened up is not for you to say, oh good, God great, look what God do. It's that we can live victorious. You know, we don't have to be bound by the fears. We don't have to be bound by the doubts. We don't have to live with the tension. And we don't have to struggle and strain no more. That came to remove that from you. That you can walk rejoicing in it, receiving it, thanking God for it, knowing that God has given it to you in this hour. Which one of you is praying for the prophet to come? Which one of you is praying for God to open the 7 seals? None of us. So if you wasn't praying for them, how could your prayer bring something to pass now? No, friend. Your prayer is for you to recognize that you are the problem and get yourself out of the way. when the book opened, it showed that the problem was never on God's side. The problem was always on the other side. And the light has come that we can judge ourselves in the light of the word and take God at his word and bring ourselves subject to that word and see that it is God who is faithful. Just quickly for the next few minutes here, look at Moses. In this chapter 9, Moses was speaking to Israel and he was saying, "Hear, O Israel, thou art to pass over the Jordan this day to go in to possess nations greater and mightier than thyself, cities great, fortified up to heaven, a people great and tall, the children of the Anakim, whom thou knowest and whom thou hast heard say, who can stand before the children of Anak." And Moses, when he brought the people who had called up to that junction, Moses knew he was not going to take them any further than where he has brought them. He understood what his commission was when he met the pillar of fire and he was given the two signs to confirm his commission. And he understood that when he went to Egypt before the people, what he was to do with those signs. It was to get the people to believe him, that they might have faith that he was sent by God. Is that right? And Moses knew that that could not bring their deliverance. It was going to be the message that followed that sign. And so we see in this day, God had sent a prophet like unto Moses. When God came and appeared to that prophet in 1946, he said, "I'm giving you two signs just like I gave the prophet Moses." He said, "And these signs is to confirm your commission." And the prophet knew what he was supposed to do with that sign. It was to attract the people's attention to get them ready for the message. And the message was going to reveal to them the plan of God for that age. So if we are believing just because we saw signs and wonders, and we have not come into the knowledge of the plan of God for this age, all we'll come up with it is God sent a mighty prophet. A prophet mighty in word and in deed. And that is exactly in the second Exodus where the two men on the road to Emmaus, after they followed a message for 3.5 years, and Jesus died on the cross, after he rose and he came back walking with them on the road to Emmaus, they say, "Have you heard the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth? A prophet mighty in word and in deed." And all they saw was a mighty prophet who did many signs and wonders. And they was heartbroken, they was fallen, because they couldn't understand why such a great thing would just die out like that. And he rebuked them and said, "Oh, fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered?" And so Jesus had to open the understanding that they could see that those things had to take place in order to accomplish God's purpose in that age, that they can be able to come in and receive a true blessing. And the real blessing was not just to see the prophet. That was a blessing of itself. But the greater blessing was to come in and receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Because when the Lamb died, it made a way for the Holy Spirit to come back upon the believer. Is that right? Yeah. And so Moses knew that he was to call the people out to Egypt and bring them up to the promise. But Moses was told by God he will not take the people into the promise. And Moses knew that the time had come where he had to decrease. His work was finished. But because he understood where God had brought the people, how God had worked, because he was in direct communication with God, he was the earthly leader under the heavenly leader. Because in the Bible, God said, "I will send the angel before you." And the Bible said the pillar of fire went by day, by night, and the cloud went by day. Is that right? So Moses didn't know where he was going. God didn't give Moses a map and say, "Study it out, see the distance, see the best route,
See where the people have food. See where the people get water to drink. See where you'll be able to bring them up to the promise. God didn't do that. God himself was leading them. And they questioned the leadership of Moses because many times they found themselves in places where there was nothing to eat. They found themselves in places where there was no water to drink. They found themselves in places where it seemed that physically they had to endure and go through hardship, and their life was not comfortable and prosperous as they desired to enjoy material blessings. Because subconsciously they felt material blessings would be a sign and confirmation of God leadership. But God had intended that through the way he led them, he will make himself known to them. God had intended that in him delivering them, in him leading them and guiding them, they will learn to have confidence in God leadership. It will give God the opportunity to reveal himself to them. It will give God the opportunity to show them how much he loved them and how he cared for them and how he willing to watch over them. And when battles would come, how he'd fight the battles for them. And when needs come, how he'll supply them needs. Amen. And when they have sicknesses, how he'll heal them. And when they are tired, how he'll give them rest. And so God had a purpose. But the people, many times not living in the realm where they could catch an understanding of what God purposes, living in a realm where their heart and their affections could be on God's thoughts concerning them. They live in a realm of selfishness where I want this, I want this. They want to see what they have. They want to show one another what God gives them. They want to compare who God blessing more. And they want to live in a realm where everything that they can see in their own life as a sign of blessing. And God was not interested too much in them receiving all these things and trying to measure themselves by what they receive. God was interested in making himself known to them. You get that? So we notice Moses. Here we see Moses seeing the necessity, as God began to show him, of setting their heart and the conscience of the Exodus people just before they entered into the promise. He began to bring their heart and the conscience to a place where they will understand the purpose how God dealt with them. And he says, speak not in thine heart that the Lord had cast out them from before thee, saying, for by my righteousness the Lord had brought me in to possess this land. You know, a lot of people today, they think they're going into this promise because of their righteousness. And Moses, realizing the people, begin to look around the nation and say, we have the pillar of fire. God in our midst. We have the prophet. We have God fighting for us. You see how powerful we are. You see what a great people we are. And many times you hear people pray when they come to pray sometimes. And they say, Lord, you know we are the bride, Lord, and you know so and so. And Lord, you tell us so and so, Lord, and we are your people. Only we can do this, Lord. And sometimes that ain't the truth. Sometimes that is self-exaltation. Sometimes that comes of a self-centered heart. Sometimes that comes of a seared conscience who have failed to examine their life to see what good you did. The faith that you're pleasing God with is God's faith God gives to you. And when God judges you by your nature and the natural circumstances, there's far better people in the world than you. And was nothing special about you that God had to call. He couldn't call somebody else. That's why John said, say not to yourself, we are Abraham's seed. God said, there is nothing stout to be Abraham's seed. The people, instead of seeing the way that God had dealt with them, And there is, and why they should come into a full surrender to God, unreserved surrender, and truly worship and serve God, they turn around and they saw the experiences as a means of promoting and exalting the self. You catch that? They turn around and take those experiences was meant to humble them, was meant to see their unworthiness. Those experiences was meant to reveal the heart of the God that they was walking in the presence of. Yet they turn around and instead of they worship God and come into a full, complete surrender to that God, they turn around and took the experiences to promote the self and exalt the self. Me, I. Instead of saying, isn't God gracious? Amen. There was nothing to merit that blessing. Amen. And God gave it still. Surely His love is beyond measure. Amen. Amen. So look at rebellion. And yet when God could bring judgment, He long-suffer instead. Oh my! I should never resist a God like that. That is what He should have done. But I turn around and say, God with me. Maybe something God seen me at. Maybe God running me down because maybe something if God lose me, well, I tell you, you end up missing something. And so Moses had to tell the people, they understand the effort. He had brought them to a place. He said, this is the day. You will pass. He said, here, Israel, thou art to pass over the Jordan this day to go in and possess nations greater than you. The prophet knew that was the day they was going in. That Jordan, death was going to be conquered. And they were going to enter into resurrection. They were going to enter into the inheritance that day. It was the great day that they longed for. That day couldn't come in Egypt. That day couldn't come in the wilderness. But under that pillar of fire, under that prophet message, it was going to bring them right up to the brink where that day was going to break forth. And they were going to go over into that land. Amen. They had already tasted the earnest. It's going to be a time of the appointed of God's wrath. He was going to judge them Canaanite. The iniquity was full. But just when the fullness of judgment is going to come, God's people is going to enter into the fullness of the blessings that was promised them. And before they could enter into it, God saw the necessity of correcting the people's attitude, of viewing themselves the right way. Before they could enter in, He saw the necessity of correcting them and setting their heart and their conscience in true order, and that they could truly line up with God's word. Oh my, are you understanding me tonight? God is interested, friend, in getting your heart and your mind. Your attitude, when you look back down through life's journey, when you see the purpose and the message crossing your path, when you see the grace of God come to you, when you see the condition it found you in. Look at the blessing I'm talking about. What don't people deserve that? Just the grace of God. God let Himself know. If I look back at my own life and my own past, is it a shameful thing even to stand and speak some of the things? Like God could take something like that unworthy to even speak a word true. That this woman never see me in the life and they come to fall here and just hold and touch us. In the face of all these people in this house, and when is it the power of God going to move through that place? Everybody stop what they're doing. And everybody just come right in on the who was on the floor, repenting, crying, praying, pleading, everything else. People are hot in the air, pumped up and crying and wept. To think. But look at Moses. Moses knew his message brought them to that spot. And knew the next thing was going to unfold. They was going to go over that Jordan. It was going to open up to take them into a place where they were going to live and have experiences that they never had had before all the days of their life from Egypt right to that very hour. They're going to go through death and enter into the resurrection. They were going to see death conquer in that age. Let me tell you, friend, this is the age we are seeing death has been conquered. Amen. This is the age where the bride is going to enter into a full, complete resurrection. Amen. We who are alive and remain shall not be changed, shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in a twinkle of an eye. Amen. This mortal world put on immortality. Amen. Amen. And to see here God in his grace, in that hour when the iniquity of the Amorite was to be fulfilled, where the righteous judgment of God was to be executed upon the people, that generation of his wrath, those Canaanites, and the destroying angel, Joshua had already been anointed to go forth with a ministry of judgment upon that nation. And they had a revelation of the only provided way to escape. Look at them spies. Though they knew the wrath was coming, yet they can reveal God's provision for grace in a time of judgment. Yet they understood the grounds and the basis upon which a man's sins can be loosed from him and his condemnation and his guilt be removed, and he come into fellowship with God and find peace and shelter in a time of judgment. Isn't that criticizing and pulling down and this? No, sir. But it's being able to minister, amen, God's grace in a time of judgment to show that God is a way, God is a principle, God is a method where I can loose a man from that condemnation, where I can bring a harlot like Rahab who would believe the message, amen, put into a place of shelter and safety where the wrath of God cannot touch them. Amen. Hallelujah. One of our faith to receive the spies. Receive the testimony. Glory be to God in the highest. And what's on Moses in correcting the people's attitude? So they will not be exalted in the thinking and fail to understand God's grace and God's election. God's sworn oath. Moses said, don't think it because of yourself. He said, God is remembering his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God is a covenant-keeping God. Amen! And God said, Moses said, Lord, don't look at the people here. He said, but look back at the covenant. Remember what you say back there. Remember, he said, I will restore. Amen! Remember how Paul and the Rangers and Martin and them walk. Hallelujah! Remember those things back there. How all these died in faith that haven't received a promise. Remember that back there. Oh, you see so much self-exaltation. You see so much self-man-made security. You see so much people get puffed up with knowledge. You don't see love edifying, hardly. You see a lot of puff up with knowledge. But watch. And Moses, realizing those people go over there, born the thing that Red Sea opened before them because it was great, and they had to move back. And they failed to remember that they were saying, God, Moses, they bring you out to kill us. Yeah. Moses said, remember? I went up in the mount there. He said, God will destroy you all. He says, because they made a little idol, little graven images. And he said, I say, this is the God that brings us out to Egypt? He said, I dance and play around it? Is that right? And Moses said, remember God wanted to destroy the whole thing and start over anew? He said, for his sake.
Amen.
And brother, when you see that judgment will move in the earth, but there was one who gonna stand in the gap in this day. Amen. Hallelujah. One brother who understood the seriousness of the hour. One who know the wrath that was be poured out. One who looked and saw the church, in all the self-exaltation, the self-estimation was so high. I am rich and increased, good and have thee of nothing. He said, because thou sayest. He said, you saying that. God didn't say that. And when he began to see the attitude of the people, even like Hezekiah, when he showed, look at the man, was questioning the reasonability of God's judgment. Evidence of his justification, why he should not be judged so harshly. And he tried to bypass the word of a vindicated prophet to take his case direct to God. Showing the condition of the minds of the people in this age. How they saw themselves. What they trusted in. Men like Uzziah who refused to receive correction. Just because they had a little blessing in their lives somewhere. They allowed that to go up to the head and exalt themselves. And so look at the Exodus prophet in his day. I diagnosing the heart and the conscience of the people of this generation. This self-exalted generation. This generation of that glory in their own works. Man exalting the knowledge above the word of God. By all the inventions of science and all these things, defying God. Moses saw the condition. He said, understand this day. He said, speak not in thine heart. He said, not for thy righteousness, nor for the uprightness of thy heart. Dost thou going to possess the land, but for the wickedness of the nations? He said, not because it is for the wickedness of the nations. Their time come. God told Abraham, quiet back there. I couldn't judge it now. But in the fourth generation, the iniquity of Yahweh was going to get full. Then I'm going to bring you in. I'm bringing you in because the iniquity is full now. And I must dispense my justice because my holiness demands justice. These people have filled the land with their abominations. See? All the uncleanness. They have no regard for God anymore. He says, because of that, now I cannot hold back my wrath, my anger anymore. I'll have to judge them. I can't let this thing go on. And because I'm going to dispossess them from the land, I'm bringing you in. Oh, man. Let's balance it up tonight. Let's see, there's another perspective of it. Let's see, there's an angle of it that don't lead you into self-exaltation, but keep your balance. Keep you humble. Keep you recognizing God is the author and God is the finisher. It's not thy might, thy power, not him that will, not that run, but God who showeth mercy. Amen. Through many dangerous thoughts, I've already come. It's grace that I brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. It was only because of God's sovereign mercy, God's elective love, that God is a covenant-keeping God. He cannot break his word. He will not fail to keep his word. He will keep his word every time. Regardless if people is worthy of it or not worthy of it, he will stay true to his word. So the very experiences which have caused them to recognize the grace that was shown to them, to produce the humility, to bring the surrender into their lives, they turn around and use those experiences to promote the self, to exalt the self, to show that they are the people. It's like they're doing like that, like God couldn't find a people worthy of that blessing until he found them. But Moses knew. He says, you reach your place now. And this is the day you are fixing to enter in. That Jordan, you're going to pass it over this day. This is the day you're going to go right through that into life everlasting. What you taste at Kadesh Barnea, that little earnest that you get, you're coming into it with a huge portion. You come into its difference. But before you go in and get it, he says, know something. That is not because you are this or you are that or you are the other, but because of how gracious God is. Because how long-suffering God is. Because how God is keep his word. Amen. It's because God cannot lie. That is the reason. He said, God remember his promise. God remember his covenant back there. And God see the wickedness of this nation. So it's not by any merit we have done. It's by the grace that God has shown us. May tonight let that little grace wind come into your heart. Let it get down to the place in your life where you can truly recognize, Lord, you could have dispensed with me so many times. So many times I failed you. So many times I failed to do anything worthy. So many times you put opportunity before me and I bypass it. So many times I was so self-centered, I leave your work undone to see about my own self. So many times that maybe so many a soul I could have reached and spoken to didn't get the opportunity to have a real witness because I was too lazy, because the night was too dark, because I had nobody to go with me, because I find an excuse, because I just didn't feel up to it, because I felt the predestined to come anyway. Until many of them have had to go without a witness, when God raises up to be the very light, to be the very Bible that they would read, to be the very ones that would point to them that way. And we fail to do it. Amen. But look and see, Moses, even standing there, Moses saw that God in himself, God in himself was willing to wipe out all the people and make a new nation. And make Moses the head of a greater nation. Yet he refused the dignity of being the leader of a greater nation in Israel. Because there was nothing of self to say, I lead the greatest and most powerful nation. I'm the pastor, the best church. And it had nothing like carnality. The greatest thing that Moses wanted was to see God glorified and to see God people saved and delivered. He was interested whether he's going to get a reputation for this or that. He's interested. He's saying, Lord, you. He says, you are so good. What about the nations going to say about you? They're going to say, you bring them people out and you're going to take them in. How are you going to look, Lord? Your name, you'll not be spoken of in the right way. The rumors is going to go through all through the place. And when they speak of you, they will speak of you without reverence, without giving you the honor that you rightfully deserve. He said, then, Lord, these people, that is your people, even though they're rebellious, but how much more glorifying it is to you to even deliver them and save them. That if you have to wipe them out, he said, why don't you wipe me out instead? Blot my name out. But your people. And to see that Moses, when the Spirit of Christ came upon him, and he expressed the mediatorship of Christ, standing there, he put himself exactly in the place where Jesus put himself. Can we catch the life and the character that pleases God, that was able to cause God's mercy to reach out and deliver our people, who it seems like in his own sight he didn't see that God should write them off, that God should just blot them out? How much greater it is to God that he could even save them in that condition, deliver them from that condition. How much greater is it, God? How much more glory is going to be? How much more powerful is going to make God look? How much more men will have to praise God and honor God? In his heart, his affection was upon his God.
He wasn't walking under the light of that pillar of fire, trying to see who he is and let other people see him to be great, and let other people see him to be powerful. Because Moses knew that even he was rebellious to God. He knew even he was disbelieving God in the beginning. He knew even he ran away from God and had to be turned around and sent back. When the time of the promise came, God will not let the people go in just like that. But God and Deuteronomy stuck them there and walked them back through the journey. Walked them back through the experience and stuck them at every junction and showed them God and showed them the self. To put them in the true order and bring their heart and their mind in the right condition. So when they get in there to receive their blessing that was promised, they can truly worship God in the right way. They can exhibit it in the right way. It would not be something to promote self. It wouldn't something to be exalt self. It wouldn't something to be compare yourself with somebody else or put somebody else down and raise yourself up. But be something that God will be all in all. Amen? Let us bow our heads and close our eyes. Oh, gracious God, as we bow in your great presence tonight, just looking at these few portions of Scripture, Lord, just for a little exhortation here tonight, a little testimony. Lord, how I pray that the few words have been testified and the short exhortations have been given, Lord, will so find a place where it can lodge in the hearts of your children. That by a word and testimony, Lord, we can see where you have brought us up to in this hour. And how your great grace has unfolded to us all along. Dear God, we will not forget or cause for the effect of how you long suffered with us. The kind of problems and the kind of we gave to you, Lord, the rebellion, the stubbornness of heart. The Lord, when it comes to reaching out to one another, to one that is in need, Lord, we can remember, as Christ forgive us, so we ought to forgive one another. As you show us mercy, so we must be willing to show mercy. As you look beyond our fault and see our need, so we can look beyond someone's fault and see their need. Oh, gracious God, when you would do something, Lord, Lord, even you told the disciples one time, he says, that man was blind. Was it because his father sinned or his mother sinned? He said, no, this is that the works of God might be made manifest. It's not always because of sin that things like that happen. Dear God, sometimes you let the same condition come so you can show your mercy and your grace. You can manifest your word and show your glory, Lord. Oh, no wonder Paul said, I may know him. Lord, how we desire to know you in a deeper way, in a greater way, Lord. In a way that when we walk and when we live and when we speak in this world and interact with people, they wouldn't see us and see what we know and what we can do. They would see this lovely one, the Lord Jesus. They would see this most adorable one, the fairest of 10,000. Oh, precious Savior, that we can truly represent you this hour, Lord. That we can truly, Lord, be a real reflector to reflect your beauty and your grace. As the songwriter said, let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. All of his wonderful passion and purity. Oh, thou Spirit divine, all my nature refine till the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. We so desire that tonight, Father. And God, as we stand here in the verge of the promise we made manifest, this full adoption, this full redemption, this hour of resurrection, Lord, seen, oh God, the junction where we are,
where it is spoken in the scriptures. Seeing the distance, the journey we have traveled. Seeing, oh God, the tender hand of Jehovah, how you led us. How you supplied our every need, you fought our every battle, oh God. Prove yourself so faithful, you long suffering. You dealt with us as sons. The Father chases his sons, so you chase him. At us, Lord. Bringing us that we might be placed positionally. We might truly represent you and display your great grace and glory. Display your marvelous light. God, I pray tonight that where there's a hungry heart, one that don't just want some churchianity, one who realizes that God is real and the word of God is real, they're tired of some church exploitation, church philosophy and psychology, manipulating people, oh God. They want to receive the word of truth. They want to feed upon the reality of the word that would show to them the real purpose that you'll put them upon the face of the earth for. And they can understand the hour that they live in. Oh, gracious God, won't you just, in an act of grace tonight, in a show of mercy and truth, in a show of your divine and merited favor, Lord, you just be a witness to some heart that might want to be certain how to go, what step to make, what decision. They might be concerned. They don't just want to be going to and get identified with something they don't understand or are confused about or have seen so much misrepresentation of. But a reality that can speak to their heart, and their heart can be about witness. Something like Saul of Tarsus. When he came to the presence of that great pillar of fire, the very thing he was fighting was negative too. When it struck him, he says, "Who art thou, Lord?" He said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest." And he said, "What wilt thou have me to do, Lord?" Oh, Father, you have such a way that you can deal with the children. You designed them. You made them up to respond to certain things. You know how just to get past those human defenses and arrest that heart and bring it into an experience of your love. That they can let go and just let you have your own way in their lives. They can know they have not fallen some cunningly devised fable, but it's a more sure word of prophecy unto which they can take heed, as unto a light that shines in a dark place. Heavenly Father, may tonight, dear God, as we sit in your presence here, your Holy Spirit is brooding, milling around in this place. Oh God, that streams of grace would bathe down in the hungry hearts, and you would give a witness of your truth. He said, "My sheep will hear my voice." Something, dear God, that your children will not have to fear or wonder, but can approach you with confidence. They can come into full submission to you, Lord. They can lay their lives at your feet. They can trust in your word. They can hold fast to your unfailing promise. Would you do that tonight, Father? Lord, I pray. And where we may have misunderstood, where we may have gotten ourselves in the way, where their hearts, their God, and consciences, attitudes that need to be corrected, minds put in the right channel, see it, your word from the right perspective, where they can have a true and proper relationship with you and truly give you your rightful place in their lives, where they can worship and honor you as the sovereign God, the all-wise God, to whom be all glory and honor. And we miserable wretches, worms, who don't even deserve your grace, but yet you give it unto us. And we should ever be thankful and grateful for the kindness that thou hast shown unto us. And serve with all humility and reverence and godly fear. Oh God, may you grant it tonight. Bless your children tonight, Father. When we leave this place, we ask your traveling mercies. We ask your never failing presence go with us. We ask, dear God, that you provide and supply our every need. You take us safe into our homes. Lord, in this hour when we desire to enter into deeper consecration, walk closer to you, Lord, and see our faith perfected. See our lives be approved by thee, O God. Lord, we just pray that you would just have your way in our lives. We commit ourselves unto you, Father. We thank you and we praise you for all things tonight. Blessed be your wonderful name, O God. Oh, great, merciful God, how we thank you. How we praise you, O God, how we worship you. How we adore you, Lamb of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thou art the fairest of 10,000. Oh, thou art truly wonderful. We praise your lovely name tonight. Just giving testimony tonight. We thank you for what you did in Toronto. We thank you, Lord, for the favor and grace you showed to those people there. We pray, dear God, its effect will not be lost. Dear God, they will see your great kindness and mercy. Dear God, everything that is needed to be made right would be made right. And in obedience and in humility, Lord, they will truly line up with your word. They can walk on in faith. They can walk on in humility, with gratitude and thanksgiving for their grace and their favor. You so richly show them the hearts that you touch. Oh God, the ones that you draw by your Holy Spirit so you can deal with them, and you did deal with them. Lord, I pray you continue, Lord, to work in their hearts and lives and make that work complete. You know everyone, Father, by name. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. And God, as we desire to move on here in this little assembly, our eyes fix on thee, oh precious Jesus. May our hearts be knit together in love. May we stand united in the faith. May, oh God, you take away from us every disharmony, every thing that is not of thee, oh God, every hindrance. May you bring us in one mind and one accord, we pray, oh God. Grant it, Lord. May you grant it. We so desire to see your name glorified and be admired in all them that believe, and that you fulfill the work of faith with power. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray and we ask it. Amen. 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 Let us sing, let the beauty of Jesus be seen. Of Jesus be seen. My to sing it again if you really mean it. You just lift your hearts and worship Him. Oh my, He's the God who can change you, transform your life, deliver you from yourself, reveal His own life in you, glorify His name in you. He wants to do it tonight. Just let go and let Him have His own way tonight. Worship Him with faith. Look at His wonderful face and worship Him. The Spirit divine of my nature refined. Feel the beauty of Jesus. Oh, I see my own wretched self and I see His wonderful beauty I desire, and I want to see it once more. Beauty of Jesus be seen in you. Oh yes, Father, make us more like You. You said in Your word, be conformed to the very image of Jesus Christ. And when we behold that glory, be changed from glory into glory, into that very same image. May we hold it tonight, Father, as You reveal Yourself to us, Dr. Life Journey. Oh God, may it be so clear tonight. We'll walk in it. Beauty of Jesus is seen in. Oh my Jesus, sweet Jesus, what a wonder You are. My Jesus, sweet Jesus, what a wonder You are. Brighter than the morn. Is He really that to your heart? Can you, from the bottom of your heart, express that out of love? Amen. Love that has been produced by a relationship of Him shedding abroad His love in your heart.
Everything more precious.
It means to you more than your bank account tonight, my Jesus. Oh my, that eternal love. More than corruptible things like gold or silver, He had purchased you. He freely laid up His life, friend.
Oh, you are here.
Oh, so much fear tonight.
And the lily that grows by the way. Your love is my prayer.
Oh, could all His daughters sing that in worship, in adoration tonight? Your Jesus, Your sweet Jesus tonight, He goes sweet as the days go by. Hallelujah. Oh, just make love to the Holy Spirit tonight. Oh, like in the Songs of Solomon, let the bride sing to the bridegroom tonight. Oh, that precious love that gives us that security. Oh, everyone singing it now, my Jesus. Oh, my lovely, lovely Jesus, the fairies of 10,000. Amen.
You are brighter than the morn.
Oh, that morning star that shines in the darkest of days. He's so much fairer. Hallelujah. Oh, such a perfume, such a aroma.
More precious than gold.
Oh, let's sing another praise now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, the whom be honor and glory forever.
Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invincible, the only wise God, the honor and glory forever and ever, amen.
Oh, exalt Him. Give Him His rightful place tonight.
Oh, praise His wonderful name.
God bless you.
Thank you.
Just know.